This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وآت ذا القربى حقه والمسكين وابن السبيل ولا تبذر تبذيرا إن المبذرين كانوا إخوان الشياطين وكان الشيطان لربه كفورا وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ليس الواصل بالمكافي ولكن الواصل الذي إذا قطعت رحمه وصلها أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable علماء اكرام Respected brothers and elders While the world continues to progress technologically, simultaneously it plunges further into immorality. One of the tragedies of our progress, of our material progress, is that coupled with our advancement in technology, we are losing our morals, our values, our ethics. And that is the price we are paying to go technologically advanced. The world is becoming more and more materialistic. And if you look, never mind the Muslim, we are accused of being over-religious. Hence, the media often speaks about the moderate Muslim, the moderate Muslim. But speak to any person belonging to any divine faith and he will tell you, and he will echo the same sentiment that faith, spirituality, morals are becoming absent. An American psychologist once made a beautiful observation of the American society. He said, that our, this was an American psychologist writing in the news column of America, he writes, that America's glories and evils are tightly fused together. He said, America's glories and evils are tightly fused together. Furthermore, he writes, the very source which contributes to the vitality of its economy is the same source that contributes to the breakdown of marriages. Is the same source that contributes to crime. While the speeches of liberation contributed to economic advancement and women came into the commercial world, coupled with that, it led to homes breaking up and marriages being shattered. So America's glories are tightly fused with its evils. And then he furthermore said, we are a nation who are blessed and burdened by our values. We are a nation who are blessed and burdened by our ethics and our beliefs. And this is exactly what we see happening around us. That materialistic approach towards everything. It's coming to such an extent that it's dominating everything. Faith has been excluded from the equation totally. Just not as Muslims, but you speak to any person. Any person belonging to a faith of divine religion will tell you that religion has been undermined. Religion has been excluded. You know, on a lighter note, they say this person was walking... priest, he was going to the church, so he couldn't find the church. So there was a youngster there, a delinquent. So he looks at him and says, Father, where are you off to? He says, no, I'm looking for the church. So he says, oh, you just carry on straight there, you turn right and you'll find the church. So he says, thank you, my boy, but by the way, listen, you must come tonight. I will be delivering a sermon how to get to heaven. So he says, you don't know where the church is, where do you know where heaven is, man? You don't know where the church is, you want to tell us where heaven is. But it might be a very simplistic approach to the whole thing, but that's the reality. Nobody wants to hear about heaven. Nobody wants to hear about it. It's been excluded totally from the equation. And it's absolutely materialistic. I chose before you a few verses of the Quran. And briefly I run you through this here. These are verses of Surah Bani Israel. Now, in this particular chapter, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the commands which are the general broad principles of every faith. Any person with sane logic, any person with balanced understanding would also echo these sentiments and will be common despite the differences of faith, color, creed and nationality. And hence, it is revealed in Surah Bani Israel, which was revealed to the Israelites as well. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, If any person wants to understand a condensed version of the Torah, then telling him to read this here. There are 15 commandments, not 10, 15 commandments that Allah speaks about here. And he says, if you want to understand what Allah revealed in the Torah to the previous nations, and hence Allah revealed it in the Quran to the believers. So if the Muslims can listen to this because it's part of the Quran, and people from other faiths can listen to this here, believe me, the planet Earth will be a different place to live on. There's a desperate need and intervention of divine revelation. We are living in a world where absolutely everything is focused and is analyzed through the logic and through the mind. So if you can level a healthy debate logically, there is meaning to what you say. So we find that same-sex marriages have become common. Why? Because logically they have an argument. Anything that has a logical argument is accepted and is channeled and is promoted. So in this particular verses, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the general principles, ethics, morals and values, which every human, hence the Quran speaks about it, and Abdullah ibn Abbas says it was revealed in the previous scriptures. In fact, just for the record purpose, may I add and say, that as Muslims we believe, after the Quran, the next book in merit is the Torah. While we respect all divine scriptures, it is important that we understand the divine grading as well. How has Allah graded it? The Quran is the final, the absolute revelation. And next after the Quran is the Torah. Of course, we are speaking of the unadulterated version of the Torah. The Quran speaks about the Torah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ الْفُرْقَانَ وَضِيَاءً وَذِكْرًا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah has praised the Torah in this verse. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ الْأُولَى. Now what does Allah Ta'ala say in these qualities here, which supposed to be inborn and inherent in every human? And this is what we lack in today. The first command Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. That Allah has, throughout the times and the ages, the first, most vital, most important injunction is the belief in the one Allah, in monotheism, and that is the doctrine of one God. That none be worshipped besides Allah. Allah says this has been from the very beginning in all the divine scriptures. Second command immediately after that, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah says kindness to your parents. This is not just a really, just not an Islamic angle. This is not an Islamic flavor. But this is throughout every person supposed to have been, you know, promoting this concept and living dutiful towards his parents. What does the Quran say? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullahi used to say that even if Allah had not revealed the injunction of kindness to parents, morally humans are duty bound to be kind to their parents. More so when Allah has revealed it in the Quran. It says even hypothetically excluded from the Quran and say Allah has not revealed it in the Quran, human morals and ethics calls and demands that we show loyalty and faithfulness to those people by virtue of which we have entered into the world. Now, you speak to any person from any faith, and he will tell you this is a common problem in the world, that parents have been sidelined, in marginalized. I was now in Australia, so one person was developing some land, and he was now, you know, they just give it a different flavor. So instead of calling it old age home, they call it our parents' home. Our parents' home. So, you know, to soothe yourself that we've dignified their position. So you put them in the same place, but you give it a polite approach. So anyway, he took me there, he was developing, and obviously there was economic chances for him, so he sees the opportunity to develop the land. People at the age of 50 are already moving in there. So, you know, at such an early age, they've been marginalized from the community. And they have been alienated and put into one side. Now, what does the Quran say? Ya wa qadha rabbuka alla ta'budu illa iyyahu wa bil walidayni ihsana imma yablughanna 'indaka al kibara ahaduhuma aw kilahuma fala taqul lahumā uffin fala taqul lahumā uffin. I recall once there was a very great scholar who was visiting South Africa, and he was addressing a congregation of ulama, and I had the opportunity to be present there. And he says, one day a non-Muslim friend of mine taught me a lesson. A non-Muslim friend of mine taught me a lesson. So I said, let me listen. This is a man who spent his entire life in Quran and Hadith. And here he says he learned something. Nabi alayhi salam says that wisdom is the lost item of a believer. Wherever he can grab it, he must take it. Wisdom is the lost item of a believer. Wherever he can, he is most deserving of it. So he says, I met my non-Muslim friend with whom I was schooling. So after having a little social discussion and we opened up, so I asked him, your parents staying with you from amongst all the children? So he says he taught me a lesson on such a polite way. He said, let me rephrase that. Yes, you are right. I am staying with my parents. Among the children, not my parents are staying with me. It's not that I'm providing them the accommodation. As we commonly say that I'm keeping the old man or I'm keeping the old lady. Parents are, he said, no, no. I am staying with my parents. In other words, giving up the impression that the house is still my father's. And he remains the ultimate being. I might be the breadwinner and I might be providing. But it doesn't necessarily give me the advantageous approach to say that I'm running and my parents are staying with me. No, no, I am staying with my parents. He says that was so deep and it left me thinking that yes, that is the correct way how we should view when we speak about our parents. So the Quran says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا. If they reach age, you know, they become old, أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا, one or both of them, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Then don't even frown upon what they say, never mind disapprove. Don't even frown. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, if there had to be a form of disrespect less than frowning, trust me, Allah would have made that also forbidden. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, under the commentary of this ayah, where Allah says, don't frown on what they say. If there had to be a form of disrespect and an unpleasant gesture which you could reflect to your parents less than frowning, trust me, that also would have been forbidden. Then he used to quote the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَاقُ مَا شَاءَ أَنْ يَعْمَلْ. Tell the evil son, tell the rebellious son, tell the disobedient offspring to go on doing what they want, I swear by Allah, they will never see Jannah. Tell them to do what they want, I swear by Allah, they will. Now what I'm saying is, this is just not the teachings of the Quran, this is the divine teachings which featured in every divine scripture. And the world today as it is moving, absolutely nothing is, you know, today it's totally materialistic. My father used to always tell us of this boy, he was away. So he had to write a telegram. Today to SMS time, so anyway you can SMS, but anyway those days. So he sent a brief telegram to his father. And what's it? It's only money. So he writes to his father, he says, no man, no fun, your son. So the father was also shocked. He says, too bad, too sad, your dad. No man, no fun, your son. That is it. My son, are you okay today? What is it? It's only money. It is only money. It's totally revolving around materialistic. The whole approach, faith has been excluded from the equation. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? That when they reach old, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. Sa'id ibn Musayyab, who was one of the greatest of tabi'een, he used to say that a child should speak to his father like how a disobedient slave speaks to a harsh master. Number one, you're disobedient, so you know that he's justified to rebuke you, to admonish you. Then he is ill-tempered, his nature is very unpleasant. Can you imagine how cautious, how sensitive, how polite, how accommodating will you approach your parents and how will you speak to them? That is how children ought to speak to their parents. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And say unto them a polite word. Furthermore, وَقْفِذْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And spread before them the wings of mercy. Spread before them the wings of mercy. Come before them in a kind way, humbling yourself, lowering yourself. And that's not all. After serving them physically, materially, financially, then go on to say, oh Allah, I am unable to do justice to the kindness of my parents. I beg you, shower your choicest blessings on them. You know that hadith where that person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I have done for my parents. Just a point to mention also, scholars say that a person ought to respect his father more but serve his mother more. As far as servitude is concerned, Islam exhorts us that we serve our mother more and we respect our father more. Simply because the woman has gone through so much more with regards to bearing and nursing us and weaning and etc. whatever else it entails. So anyway, he said, O Nabi of Allah, I tried my level best to do for my parents whatever they have done for me. Can I say that now I have done justice and I've equated it, so I have met their kindness, I've done this, I took my mother here, I physically carried her, I spent on her, and I did everything for my parents what they did. What were the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allahu Akbar. He said, فَإِنَّهُمَا كَانَا يَفْعَلَانِ ذَلِكَ وَيُرِيدَانِ بَقَاءَكَ وَأَنْتَ تَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ وَتُرِيدُ مَوْتَهُمَا. The difference is, perhaps physically, you have done the same thing which they done for you. The only difference, I'm afraid, is they did it for you and they cherished it. You do it for them and you dread it. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? They did it for you and they cherished it. So your mother disturbed her sleep, but it was her pride. It was her pride. Believe me, it was her pride to get up, not to sleep, just to know in the end you slept nicely. That was her pride. That was her absolute pride. It brought joy to her. You might be also disturbing your sleep, adjusting your, whatever commitments you have to do some small basic errands of your mother, but I'm afraid it is not your pride. I'm afraid it's not your pride. At times you feel it's intimidating on your personal life, on your family life, on your social life, on your free time, and on your this time. In fact, let me translate the words of Nabi alayhi salam one for one. The hadith might sound crude, but Nabi alayhi salam said it in this way. They did it hoping that Allah prolongs your life, and you do it hoping that they die soon. They did it hoping that Allah gives him shifa. He must, you know, my child must come out of your cure. And you went to see your mother hoping that, you know, now she's old and what else, now we have to go. Rather she goes now. Whereas what an opportunity of service and khidmat Allah has given you. Your parents have aged, and this is the time your mother needs your time, your help, to sit with her. And all the wrong you did in your past as a child, in your youth, which we all unfortunately at times regret, and we have certain wrongs. This is the time to seize that opportunity. So that's the second command that Allah Ta'ala had given in all the divine scriptures. All the divine scriptures. And today, unfortunately, this has been taken out. The Western society strongly advocates. This is the key difference and the core difference between Western education and Islamic education. In a Western circle, a child will be told repeatedly that by the age of 14, you are entitled to this, my boy. By 15, you demand this. By 16, this is your democratic right. By 17, you are at liberty. By 18, you report it. By 19, you take legal action. These are the slogans that have been chanted. So that boy is waiting to mature only to tell you, you owe me this and you've deprived me this and you owe me that. But on the contrary, a boy being exposed to Islamic culture is told, my son, as soon as you mature, there onwards it no longer remains the responsibility of your father to support you, now it is his kindness. So the roof above you is his kindness, the plate of food in front of you is his mercy, the car you drive is his kindness, the phone you hold is his kindness. By 15 you owe this to your mother, by 16 you owe this to your neighbor, by 17 you owe that to your seniors. He is reminded of his obligations to others. This is the key difference. Another thing you will find, that today generally all the professions that a person might take up, he might tell you he has a passion for it, but it is motivated strongly by economic reasons. We cannot separate this two. He might say, I have a passion to serve patients, and I have a passion to fix cars. But end of the day, the underlying reason is that it's motivated by the monetary returns that it's going to bring. And that features very strongly in him selecting, which contaminates the whole thing he's doing. It's so shallow. This world is becoming, that's what I'm saying, it's difficult to find humans in this world. It's difficult to find polite, kind, you know, normal humans that will be polite. Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu anhu said, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I trusted everyone. If he was a Muslim, his Islam won't allow him to lie. And if he was a non-Muslim, the environment was so clean, it would have exposed him, he would prefer speaking the truth. I didn't have to bother who I was dealing with, the environment was so clean. A Muslim, his Islam won't allow him to lie. And a non-Muslim, the culture and the environment was too clean. You know, the stigma of a liar was too evil. You just get so quickly exposed that a man will never speak a lie. Now, this is what the world is desperate for, this desperate intervention of divine revelation. That we need to follow divine guidance. That is not all Allah speaks about the parents. Furthermore, Allah continues. وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ إِن تَكُونُوا صَالِحِينَ فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا. In this verse there is great solace. There is great solace for a person who at times intends to do good with his parents, but somehow it is misinterpreted. It is misinterpreted and it creates a sense of hostility between him and his parents. Allah Ta'ala says, if your intentions are noble and you sincerely want to obey them, but at times wrongly your action was misinterpreted, then provided your intentions are clean, Allah will forgive you. Provided your intentions are clean, you had not intended to offend your mother, you had not deliberately intended, and by virtue of your continuous obedience to them, at a later stage, your parents will be convinced themselves also. After that, that's the second command that Allah had given in all the divine scriptures. The third command that Allah Ta'ala gives. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُرُ وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرُبَى حَقَّ. And be kind to your relative. Be kind to your relative. Now, we can explore the topic of social ties. It has become so sad, and it has, you know, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu had a weekly hadith program, which was attended by a lot of people. So one Thursday night, as he sat down, and as people came in the gathering, he said, listen, do me a favor. If anybody is not in speaking terms with any of his relatives, will he please leave the gathering immediately? So one youngster stood up and he walked away. And he had an aunt living on the outskirts of Medina with whom he had some problem and there was some friction. So he came to the house of his aunt, knocked on the door suddenly. His aunt was very happy, very surprised, astonished, astounded, what's happening? He came inside, he said, listen, my aunt, please forgive me. You know, things haven't been all that well, we haven't been speaking. I've come to ask sincerely that you apologize, forgive me. So the aunt was very happy, she received him well, she forgave him, but she said, tell me, why suddenly at this time, what's the reason? So he said, you know what, I attend the gathering of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and today as I came, his opening comments were this here, anybody who's not speaking, please leave. So the aunt said, I have forgiven you, but do me a favor, when you go back to Abu Hurairah, ask him why suddenly today, this is how he started his topic. So he said, no problem, as long as you've forgiven me, I'm happy. He comes back, he sits down in the gathering of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu asked him, what's the reason, where you went? He says, when you made this comment here, that anybody who's not in speaking terms should leave the gathering, then I realized there was an aunt that I wasn't speaking to, so I went to pick up my relation, but my aunt has forgiven me, but at the same time, she just wanted to, out of curiosity, know, what was the wisdom behind this opening comment today? So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, that Thursday, this was on the Thursday, he used to conduct his hadith program, the actions of the ummah are presented before Allah. تُعْرَضُ أَعْمَالُ أُمَّتِي يَوْمَ الْخَمِيسِ. They are presented in the court of Allah, and Allah looks at their actions, and Allah overlooks, Allah pardons, Allah expresses kindness, clemency, and forgiveness. However, if Allah happens to see the friction between two relatives, Allah says, ship them, till they don't resolve it, I won't forgive them. Till they don't resolve their intern, they don't resolve their differences, I will not forgive them. So as a result of that, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says that I decided that that will be my opening comments. Now let us look deep down into our life. Maymun ibn Mahran has written that there are three things that there is no differentiation whether it's a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Number one, when you've given someone your word, whether you've contracted it to a believer or a disbeliever, it's not less important if it's a non-Muslim and it's not more important if it's a Muslim. It's of equal importance. That is a deception. No, no, it's okay. No, no. It's of equal importance because honoring your word is actually a contract to your Creator. It's actually a contract to your Creator. So he says there are three things, there's no differentiation. Whether you're speaking to Brother Muhammad or Mr. Thomas, whoever it is, you have to be prompt and you have to be particular about honoring your word. That's the first thing. The second thing is when you've been trusted with something. Somebody has put an amanah by you, be it a word, be it a secret, be it finance, be it anything. You have to honor it whether you're dealing with a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Learn to honor your word and be respectful to what you say. And the third is kindness to your relative. Whoever that relative is, you've got to respect him and you've got to be kind to him, be he a Muslim or non-Muslim. We find when Sa'd radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, then his mother said, as long as you will remain a Muslim, I will not eat a morsel of food and I will not drink a sip of water. And I will not take shelter. To compel her son to forsake Islam. She thought that the son will give up. One day left, 2 days passed, but the son was very firm and he was, you know, deep rooted into Islam. So he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I have accepted Islam and this is what my mother has said, that she has promised that she will not accept as long as I will not forsake Islam, she will not eat and she will not drink. What must I do? And as it went on to the third day, Allah Ta'ala then revealed these verses. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ لِتُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. That if your parents compel you to disobey Allah, if your parents compel you to disobey Allah, then do not obey them in that. However, besides that, be kind to them and dutiful, even if they are non-Muslims. So that is the kindness. Now, in today's time, I have said this, and let me seize this opportunity again, that obviously everybody is very deeply engrossed in his world, and nobody really has time to take part in the events and the development of his family members. Each person is so engrossed. So maybe your brother's daughter got married, or someone was sick in that family. You have your own issues with which you are dealing, and you cannot get time out of your own problems, and hence at times you cannot respond promptly to the occasions in his family. The sad thing is, we meet seldom. We meet seldom, but when we meet on those seldom occasions also, we make extend such nasty comments that even that few minutes meeting, we make it sour. So, you know, you haven't seen your cousin for years, and then you decided you happen to go for a holiday to Mauritius or somewhere, so you said, let me pop in. So then when you go, they said, oh, you lost your place. You lost your direction. What happened? Maybe someone passed away. That's why you're here. Now, nasty comments. In today's time, I believe that if when we meet, we don't have to take our time to meet, but whenever we meet, if we can just say kind words, then I think also we are getting somewhere. We are getting somewhere. That we only meet in at weddings, and we are only meeting at janazas. That is the reality of our life. It's a sad reality. But on those occasions when we meet, let us be kind. Let us not be snobbish. Let us not insult one another. So the Quran says, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ. And give the relative his due. Whatever you owe him. You know, the most telling story in this regard is that of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Time doesn't permit, but I just mention one thing to you. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's daughter Aisha radiallahu anha, we know she had become a victim of accusation. And there was a slander that was being promoted or circulated against her regarding zina. And this was instigated by the leader of the munafiqeen. And there's a whole detail, the Quran speaks about it. He accused her of zina with another sahabi, Safwan radiallahu anhu. But as this slander gained momentum and it was circulated, then some innocent Muslims also became a victim to this year, and they also gave it a degree of prominence. So they also started circulating, and you heard what happened with Aisha radiallahu anha. You heard what happened. And this 1 month that had passed in this entire ordeal was the most painful month in the life of Abu Bakr and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, simply because he's the honorable consort of Nabi alayhi salam, and he's the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And for that 1 month, there was no divine revelation to clear the air to say Aisha radiallahu anha was innocent. And after a month, Allah ta'ala had revealed it. Now, among the people that were guilty was the cousin of Abu Bakr. And this cousin of Abu Bakr was a very poor sahabi also. He was among those that migrated, and Abu Bakr financially seed to his well-being. Every month, out of a kind gesture, he would give some finance to his cousin, and look, he is my relative, Allah has given me, and he is to support him. But when he realized that this man had a hand in the accusation of my daughter, in all human aspirations for which I think humanly he is justified, he took an oath and he said that from today onwards, I will discontinue all financial support to my cousin. I mean, I support the man, and he can stand up and stab me, say my daughter has done this here. He barely takes the oath that he will discontinue the financial support, and Allah reveals the birth. Imagine what it says. وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولِي الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةَ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Tell, it's not becoming. It's not becoming of the learned and the wealthy among you to stop their good actions because of the wrongs of others. That was the verse of the Quran. Tell them they must learn to forgive and forget if they want Allah to forgive and forget. Abu Bakr came out, he said, O Nabi of Allah, tell Allah I want his forgiveness, and I am prepared to do anything. He called his cousin Mista, the man who accused his daughter of zina, understand? And he said, I forgive you for what you've done, and from today onwards I will double my financial support to you. Now, to give money to someone, Allah forgive, when we give, you know, we want people to acknowledge that lifelong. Imagine the qualities of Sahaba Ikram. It was this that united them. And wallah, the world is desperate that we unite. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I leave you with these ahadith. That person who is desirous that Allah must bless him in his health, his wealth, give him barakah in his lifespan and in his wealth, telling him to join tithe, and Allah will bless him both in economy, in his wealth, as well as in his life. Every person wants a long life, a healthy life, and a wealthy life. The divine formula is in joining ties. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability that we inculcate this year. And when we have discussions with non-Muslims, this is what our Quran says that was found in the Torah. It is time the entire world embraces these ethics, these morals and values, that it brings about some sense of sanity in this world. Otherwise it is blind following, it is materialism, and there is no end to this evil. Only Allah knows in which way this is heading. Allah grant us all the understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.